Blog Talk Radio.
Greetings, greetings, everyone. This is Brother Baba Waitafa right here in Oklahoma City. We want to thank you all for joining People Power Radio tonight. We're going to have a very, very interesting topic, and it is called School to Prison Pipeline, Part 2. As y'all know, we did Part 1 about 4 or 5 months ago, but at the same time, we feel that this is a very appropriate time and setting to do it a second time. And we're going to have as our special guest, Bridging the Gap, Part 34, who was here on our Thursday show. And these young folks are electrifying, very resourceful, very intelligent. And what better way to help promote their cause to get their voices out there so that others can really hear and get an appreciation for their willingness to stand out and fight for the causes of the people who would otherwise be voiceless. So we want to again thank them very shortly. But before we do, again, yearly there are thousands of kids who drop out of school, which leaves them with nothing but time on their hand to get in trouble, to misbehave, to create crime, and also to misbehave in their homes, and therefore gravitate toward juvenile centers and later on in adult life down to the path to eventually landing in adult jail or prison. So definitely we want to get everybody to see the importance and significance of reaching our youth who are young leaders for tomorrow. And again, the group that we're talking about today is definitely our leaders for tomorrow. They're revolutionaries in their own right. And again, I don't know if Brother Kevin Wilson, are you here with me tonight yet?
Yes. How you doing?
Oh, I'm good, brother. How you doing? All right, good. I got another elder brother here that's with me. He's on my team. We've been revolutionaries for many years. His name is Brother Curtis Mullins. He's going to be speaking tonight. I told him about y'all, and he said, well, there's going to be no way that I'm going to miss the show tonight. He said, because I definitely want to hear what the young people have to say, as well as hopefully part knowledge with them that they can use in their repertoire in furthering their political, economic, and social progresses in their community activism. So, again, we want to thank you all for tuning in. Is all the others on the show with you, or did you just combine yourself, or are you on your own?
We just merged the call again.
Okay, good. That's no problem. Mm-hmm. All right, everybody else. Now, last Thursday, we talked about not having chicken and all that. We're not going to do it tonight. Let's get this straight now, okay? Ain't going to be no cooking tonight. Nicole not coming on starting no mess tonight. So we're going to have fun. But y'all, as y'all know, y'all already know this show. We're a family. Brother Curtis and I do this all the time. We like to be talking about running upside a wall backwards or whatever. I mean, the point of the matter is we're going to act human here. We're going to act responsible, and then we're going to be funny and silly at times. But at the same time, the whole point of the matter is that we need to be serious when the time is right. So thank you all again for visiting us tonight. And let me say just a little bit about me. Your boy, she's not here but at the moment. However, she should show up as she normally do because of a lot of things she has going on. But the school to prison pipeline is a very touchy subject tonight, y'all, and I want to talk about it a little bit if I can, and then we'll definitely flow with the flow and give it over to our listening audience. And thank you all again, and as we go continue to move on, we'll let everyone introduce themselves so that everybody on the radio will have a better feel of who you are, what you do, why you're here, and what your plans and hopes are for the future. Let me also say before I get into tonight's topic that we have a general audience of people in Florida, Tennessee, Georgia, all over the place. Thank you all for joining in. We got your radio locked in. Thank you in Minnesota. Thank you in Texas. Thank you in Miami. Oh, man, thank y'all very, very, very much. We're glad that y'all like the show. And this is the reason we want y'all to keep coming back. Thank y'all so much, man, because, like I say, we are revolutionaries on this show. There are no right or wrongs. There's no big eyes and little you. And believe me or not, your voices, your opinions, your thoughts and ideas all count. No one's going to ridicule you. There may be some disagreements and disgruntled opinions or activist work, but let me tell you what, everybody, word counts. Now, having said that, the school-to-prison pipeline is an unintended byproduct of what you call a zero-tolerance policy in our schools. Now, when you think about the school-to-prison pipeline, we want to think about how it affects more so the African-American and actual Hispanic communities, people of color, more so than it does in any group or setting in the United States. Now, let's go back before I start on that particular point, before I get to gravitate it too strongly. I want to talk about the tragedy. I'm sure a lot of y'all heard about the 1999 Columbine school shooting, and which was intended to reduce, again, school population, as well as young people experience, and I think it was 30 to 40 young people, actually 50, who were gunned down by a former actual student of theirs at that particular time. The police were called out to the school, I mean, armed forces and people of that nature. So I want to tell you all about it now. First of all, our schools have become what you call war zones. Now, if you think about the Valdale shooting recently where 19 children and two adults were killed. Now, think about it. Recently now, this is in Texas, y'all. Okay? This reminds me of that 1999 Columbine shooting thing. The young man, again, a student at the school, first injured his grandmother, proceeded on to the school, began just unleashing a barrage of bullets from weapons he carried into the school. And, again, y'all, this is very, very frightening when we start thinking about the school-to-prison pipeline. Now, when you talk about school-to-prison pipeline, y'all bear with me shortly, and I'll definitely be calling y'all in. When you talk about the school-to-prison pipeline, myself, I'm really frightened at the Latino and African-American community children who, again, will be more likely three times be disciplined for minor infractions as talking back to a teacher or being late for school, maybe not learning in a speedy manner as everyone else. They may have had a problem at the house. Whatever the case is, the point of the matter is it targets the poverty, impoverished communities, it targets children of color, and it targets our children who themselves, many for the most part, I'm not making an excuse for them, gone to bed hungry, wake up hungry, have mothers and fathers who themselves are teenagers, who don't know the first thing about raising a child, who themselves are childs. Again, you have redlining, okay? You have basic economic declines. You have gentrification, which means, you know, developing communities, moving people out and shuffling people around to different schools and things. So having said that, and then we're getting a little bit further off into that as we move on, but let me say, first of all, Brother Kevin Wilson, give me a little bit about what you heard so far and give me your take on what you think about the school-to-prison pipeline. Do you know any people that have actually gone to prison and dropped out of school at 15 years old, have gravitated toward a crime in the street, gone to prison, gone to jail, no longer, maybe a friend of yours or whatever the case, you don't have to name their names if you don't want to, but give me some kind of instance of what I'm talking about tonight.
You know, prison, you know, hits me a little differently because my father, he was 18 when he first went into jail, and he was his 19th birthday was when he was in prison. So my brother right now is incarcerated until 2028. And with me growing up, I always said that I never wanted to fit in that mold with them. I wanted to be better than them. And you know, you learn you learn more from bad mistakes that people do than the good ones. So I knew at an early age I didn't want to end up like them. You know, I've had friends. You know, I've had friends that you know, got suspended 15, 16. You know what I mean? Didn't graduate. Now they're in the youth detention centers. You know what I mean? Stuff like that. Going to jail. You know, and it's a very real thing. So that's why when you brought up that you wanted us to come on the show Thursday, I was extremely glad because that's a real problem that a lot of people, especially in our little rural hometown of Duncan, that they don't realize. You know what I'm saying? We don't touch light on that subject. Just being affected by, you know, not having a father. You know, he was back and forth out of jail. My brother, like him, you know, me visiting him, you know, I see how hard it is, and I see the just psychological effects that it has on somebody. You know what I mean? Day in and day out. You know, you locked in the cell all day, you know, getting told what to do, you know, and it's hard. And I stress to, you know, all my, the younger kids I mentored, it's you never want to hop in that life, you know, because I've asked gang members, that's went to prison. And I always ask him who out of the gang, like, did they send you money? Did they, you know, this, that, and the third? And they all say no. Not one person. I've asked 10 people. They've all said no. None of the gang members that they had has reached out to them while they've been in prison. So that tells me that, you know, they don't have your back once you're in prison. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And that's why I'm trying to get these kids to understand that that's not the life that you want to go by, because these so-called friends that you have, they're not your friends. They're not going to do that for you. So that's kind of what you know, what makes it hit home for me. And, you know, and me being an athlete and at Duncan and just places like that, quote unquote, the token black kid of the school, I saw the injustices that my other black brothers and sisters didn't have. You know what I mean? One of my closest friends, he's in jail now. We were 16, and he asked me, Kevin, why do you think that the white people at Duncan like you? And I didn't know what to say at that age.
Wow.
You know what I mean? Okay. But as I get, you know, I seen him right before he went to jail, about like 2 months before he went to jail. I saw him, and I was like, I think they liked me because I was good at basketball. I think that's the only thing. You know what I'm saying? And then, like, then he was, I never had that same opportunity. Now, you know, now he's in jail. So, you know, but in a nutshell, that's how prison affects me. And I know how the school to prison pipeline firsthand. And so thank you for having us here, and thank you for thinking of us to be here. And I'm just so glad that we're on here tonight. So,
I see my sister May has joined us. And definitely we'll give you the floor just a second, sister. Greatly, we definitely want to hear you. We're glad you're here. But let me say this here right quick in response to what you were saying, Brother Kevin. You have to realize, man, the reason we having y'all on the show, because you are the young people now who are still in colleges. You've recently gotten out of high school.
Right.
So I'm well beyond that. Yeah, you see, I'm well beyond that framework. So we have, a laundry list of companies and people. I'm talking about professional corporations and things that are listening to us. We're not just somebody on a radio show. You want to know why? Because we'll talk about the revolutionary issues that makes a difference in our society. We talk about truancy. We talk about gang violence. We talk about education. As you see, school-to-prison pipeline. We talk about black revolutionaries of the past. We talk about people like John Brown, who were abolitionists. We don't do anything that's discriminatory toward anyone. If a white man is doing good, we're going to tell you, hey, man, this is a great thing you're doing, sir. Keep pushing, bye, 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 and bam, bam, okay? This is not one of them shows where we slight some people over others. If you're wrong, I don't care if you're gray, pink, purple, or orange, we're going to let you know about it because this is a show where honesty is our policy. Again, everybody's opinions count. May I just join us? As you know, tonight's topic is school to prison pipeline. Talk to me a little bit about what's been going on with you today, and if you want to say a little bit about that or wait till later on, however, it's on you. You know how we do it. We partners in crime here. So talk to me. Brother Curtis is on, by the way, too.
I'm going to stay on topic because, you know, we can definitely go on a roll about that. I've seen the same thing that Kevin saw. You know, I've been out of school, high school for 10 years now, and
just trying to show it because I said I've been out a while. Come on with all that.
Yeah, I'm like, a good chunk of my classmates are either in jail or dead behind gangs, behind all that. And I went to Westmore, so yeah, it was, you know, it was a pretty big class, and it was just a small number of us, black people, or section of us, like 600. It was 600 of us in our class, and I believe it was maybe 30 black students. But most of my classmates and others that I know, even the ones I didn't go to school with, you know, they're in jail or dead. You know what I mean? Behind all of this, and you know, everyone knows that this is a real thing. You know what I mean? They understand that this is a real thing, but nobody is actually changing anything at all. You know what I mean? They're taking more away from education. They're taking a lot more as the years go by to the point to where you might as well just homeschool your child. You'll have a better outcome, you know, with being the teacher of your child or, you know, actually taking charge of their education. Because it's you know, even in my father's time, he, you know, was telling me, my dad was born in 1969, and he also went to Star Spencer. But, you know, he knew even at that time it was the same thing. You know, they want to get us in to make us workers, not make us successful, not make us business people, not prepare us for the world as we come out. If you're fortunate enough, you have a teacher that will actually teach you real life things that will help you along the road. And I had a couple of teachers that really did help, but they know, some of them already know, okay, you know, it's going to be set up that way for us to either go to jail or be, you know, workers for the rest of our lives, not make anything, you know, come to light as far as, you know, we're actually producing business owners. We're actually producing this, this, and this. You know what I mean? So they say that all these wonderful things while you're in school, but they're, you know, if you really look at it in depth, you know, they're really not preparing us for life. I feel like that's where the parents come in. Well, you know, you can change the direction. If the school is lacking on certain things, you know, we can step up. I don't have any children right now, but when I do have children, I know as a parent, I'm going to have to step up and make sure my child doesn't end up down that road. But also, even at that, I did want to touch on the income-wise. You know, we have now, you know what I mean? And I'm pretty sure it affects the schools right now also. You know what I mean? They're not making sure, like, oh, we offer free breakfast programs. But in my school, I was enrolled to a certain point in, you know, free breakfast, free lunch, until my parents, you know, made over the amount, which wasn't even that much.
Yes, ma'am.
You know,
yes,
but
ma'am. I got you. Trust me. This is all part of what we're talking about tonight. Yes.
I'm like, to stop that from on this different angles, we can fight it, but everyone else is coming until we change certain things in the school system. Why we're going to still end with that school prison pipeline. And, you know, we just have to work on changing that, you know what I mean, especially for the minority children, you know, the Latinos, black children, you know what I mean, because those are, you know, those that they don't really pay attention to, low income. They don't really provide services. They put them into different programs that don't help them to learn or to speed up with their classmates. So a lot of different things I could touch on, Michael. I'm just going to leave it at this.
No, but yeah, but what, you know, you got plenty of time to talk further. But let me say this here. I want to, before you go and then we bring in some of the other speakers, I want to still piggyback on what you just said, man. I told you, I'll be listening. You said about how teachers are, they try to persuade young people to not pursue their dreams. That made me think about Malcolm X. When he was in school, he told his teacher, man, I want to be a lawyer. Teacher said, no, man, a lawyer. Are you kidding me? Black. You're supposed to be talking about a mechanics or something like this here. So in reality, what you're saying is greatly the truth, because look at that disparaged treatment. Instead of telling that child, yeah, son, Malcolm, you can go on to be what you want to be. But at that time when Malcolm was growing up being a young kid, you have to realize racism, white supremacy was all in the school system, the Jim Crow laws and all kind of legislative laws. I mean, police brutality and stuff like this here. Black kids did not even have a halfway chance of actually, for the most part, sitting at the front of the bus, just off front of the class like the white kids were. So this is going to play a strong depressing role on the minds of a lot of kids today, and had been back then. So I want to talk a little bit about now, y'all, before going back to what Brother Wilson just said, but I want maybe Zoe. I mean, I think maybe it'd be a good time since if she's on, because this is, I believe, something, her being, I don't know if a European, I don't sound like she is, but then maybe if you're not. But what have you saw as far as your classmates? Have you heard any teachers talking down on any black students, or even white students? I mean, what's your take on that, Zoe, if you're there?
So actually, Zoe is working tonight, so it's
just
Kevin Fallon and myself, Brittany Washington, on the line.
Okay, go ahead, Brittany. Okay. You take that question. Well, I don't care, like I say, with your last name like mine either. I still look here. Ain't nothing changed. So let's go on.
Okay, so one more time, Michael, could you restate your question for me?
Yeah, I was wondering, I had Zoe, but now that you're coming in, I was wondering if you, during your classes and coming up in school, you know, your college graduate, this is nice to hear, during your time as being a student in school, did you at any point hear a teacher talking down on a black student, Hispanic student, or even a white student of any kind? Have you heard any disparaged treatment about how they wasn't going to amount to be anything of that nature? What was the environment like when you were growing up in school? Let's put it like
that. Oh, definitely. I could talk from a personal encounter that I had with a teacher who was also my volleyball coach during my senior year. I was in speaking
you're breaking
of
up. I can barely
zero
hear you.
Tolerance policy. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, that's a lot better. Come
can,
on.
What about now? Is that better?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. So from personal experience, I had a volleyball coach during my senior year who was a first-time coach at our school in regard to the zero tolerance policy that schools have for students, in which I highly disagree with. You should have a zero tolerance policy in dealing with children. Because how do you not have tolerance with children? Because that's implementing giving grace. So the incident with me was I was also a basketball player in school as well. And so we were getting ready to wrap up the volleyball season, and I shot a basketball before a volleyball game. And because of that, I was kicked out off the team. Well, as a result,
are you kidding
me? Teacher, that coach. Oh, no, that not at all. Actually, it was myself and another Hispanic young lady by the name of Mariah. So if you listen to Mariah, thank you for tuning in tonight. But we shot a basketball and was kicked off the team. That was also prohibiting me from being able to play basketball. She began to sign off on all of my papers, you know, that I was making A's and B's on, and saying that I never turned it in her grade book. So I had to learn very early how to defend myself on paperwork against an adult, a teacher, somebody that was supposed to want to see me prevail and do well academically. And it also resulted in her signing, me having her sign those papers in a teacher-principal conference. Because I wasn't going to be eligible to play basketball because she didn't want to see me prevail that bad. And so so during the conference, the principal asked, you know, if I had proof of my successful assignment. And so the teacher didn't catch on to me having her put her signature on the papers that she had graded with A's and B's. And the principal did a comparison between what was in the grade book and what was actually handed to her. And it resulted in the athletic trainer, wife, picking up a class during her off period so that I would remain eligible to be able to play basketball because of the injustice that I faced. That wasn't the only thing that I witnessed as a student. And, you know, just in regard to students having the dreams, you know, there are so many limitations put on students by even the statement, you know, the sky is the limit. The sky is not the limit because there is footprints on the moon. So I think that should be the perspective of every educator for the students that are coming in that want to do better, that have experience from parents being in the prison system, or they might have siblings that have been put into juvenile or also in prison, then want to come to school and want to better themselves to become that lawyer, to become that doctor, to become their next coach or their next educator to make a difference. I think that with the zero tolerance policy, again, I don't think that there should be a thing within the education system because it does limit students to say, you know, hey, I made a mistake, but how do I bounce back and become resilient over this mistake? I think that there's bred in a breeding, a negative connotation as to resilience that every individual is capable of.
Well, you know what? Shay, Brittany, let me break in just a second now. So you were able to get by that. Now, have you seen other instances? And then we're going to ask all y'all this. Oh, man, this is really something, y'all. Yeah, did you see any other instances other than you and the Hispanic lady? Did you see any more instances? I mean, have you just gone by, walked by classrooms or what, teachers talking crazy to one of the students or whatever?
Oh, yeah, I mean, it was a teacher, and I won't say her name, but she used
to
stand in the hallways and tell students, she would tell the students, if you late to class, or if you sag in your pants, it's only two places for you. You either going to jail or you going to hell. And that's what the message was to students passing in the hallway during passing period.
Oh, my goodness.
Well, let me tell y'all something, man. This is something we, as a group of individuals tonight, are collectively doing. We got a brother from Denver, Colorado. We want to let him speak because he's in the prison down there. And we're going to let him speak a little bit because, like I said, he have a tendency of cutting him off and on. So we want to let him get his voice in because he may get picked off in the next 5 minutes. So, brother man, as you know, Brother Omar, how you been, brother?
Doing real good, brother. Don't worry
about it. Good. You were talking about the school-to-prison pipeline. You and I talked a little bit about before the show came on earlier, actually, this morning sometime. So we're going to let you go ahead and break in right here because, like you said, you know, that prison is kind of cutting. You to definitely have some prison. By the way, y'all, he's from Denver, Colorado. Talk to us, man, about the school-to-prison pipeline. Tell me, have you experienced anything of this nature? I mean, seen anybody when you were going to school? Talk to us, man.
You know, I was reading the book, hashtag Black Lives Matter to Black Liberation, and she has a chapter called The Double Standard of Justice, I think it's chapter 4 or 5. And she was about how, you know, in the early 90s, this is the crime control bill under Bill Clinton. The various funds that were given, you know, under the Democratic Party at that time to create this massive people are being targeted by this type of system. You know, my website, freeourbrothers.com, that's freeourbrothers.com, brothers.com. If the people go there, you will see a basic apparatus, this machine that's fuels the school-to-prison pipeline.
Whoa.
So they don't have,
Announce that website again. What'd you say,
Will? FreeOurBrothers.com. Our brother is disposing, you know, this the massive pipeline, you know, that's run through the criminal justice system, you know, that funds this billion-dollar industry out here in Colorado.
Wow.
The thing is, it's about Colorado. You've got people from various states, various territories, unlawfully incarcerated, railroaded like I was, they be innocent or guilty, but the state is creating criminal acts to, you know, keep people, young people in their prime behind walls so we can, you know, grow to our fullest ability, my brother.
You know what, brother, man, I mean, that is so enlightening. FreeOurBrothers.com, y'all, young people. Bridging the Gap is on our show tonight. You young people, go to that website, and it'll give you the more and more information to help you in your travels and your community activities as well. And I want y'all, like I said, man, this brother here has been a regular feature on our show, and like May Ad and Brother Curtis on the other end. We get ready to talk to him very shortly. I see Nicole has popped up as well. So, y'all, I mean, we got some other people lighting up their phone lines. Again, we can't get everybody on here, y'all, but we definitely want to thank you all, y'all, for listening to us tonight. Again, this is People Power Radio right in Oklahoma City. Baba Wintapa, Father of the Nations, Brother Michael Washington, and me at your board. We're here as your radio host. We have, again, Bridging the Gap here is ready to speak with us tonight. We have Miss Brittany, and we have Miss Fallon, and my brother Kevin Wilson, again, of the trio. Actually, there are four of them, but one of them had to work tonight, Miss Zoe. So, again, we want to thank her as well as all, and hope that her night is being blessed as well, and that she is safe. So again, now let me go a little bit of Ken right here and talk to Fallon, being a young lady, and what propelled you? Okay, as you know, you're Caucasian. Again, we're glad to know that. So now I think you would have a basic different perspective on our topic tonight as to the prison pipeline. Do you know of any instances, you don't have to give any names, where you saw the likelihood that because the way a student, and don't worry about speaking in terms of blacks, white, pink, purple, orange, be free and tell us, did you see any kind of indications from teachers or even students that this person is likely not successful in their adult life?
Yes, absolutely. You know, I was naive in high school. You know, I'm realizing stuff that happened in high school now that I'm educated now. In high school, I didn't realize what was happening. And I think the biggest thing I saw across colors, you know, whether they're African-American, Native American, Hispanic, white, whatever, was the lack of realization from the teachers that there was mental health problems.
Okay. Oh my God! Yes.
That has a lot to do. That has a lot to do with the school to prison pipeline. You know, and
wow.
I did some research, and some of the leading things for children 3 to 17 year olds is ADHD, anxiety, behavior problems, depression, and ideations of suicide. So,
oh, okay.
When you disregard those mental illnesses in school, like it's hard to like allow kids to get properly educated and
uh-huh.
not want to slack off on school. And that's what's aiding in the school-to-prison pipeline. And now that I'm looking back, that's really what I saw from a lot of teachers in my school district, was that they weren't properly trained for crisis intervention or any mental health training at all. They just kind of shoved it off. They're a bad kid. They're troubled. They have a bad home life. Instead of
uh-huh.
actually sit down with the kids and trying to help their problems, they just kind of rubbed it off and didn't want to help them at all.
Oh, wow. You know, and Fallon, you know, all y'all been so very beautiful tonight. I mean, I'm just going to tell y'all, man, this is the kind of conversations that we need to have more of. We need to have more conversations on mental illness. We need to have more conversations on policy. We need to have more conversations on pandemic. We need to have more conversations on race relations. Okay, and these are the very tools that's going to help us fight the powers that be, who in turn has a problem with people of color, as well as the unity among the groups, our multicultural groups, as my group is, as well as yours is. That is so great that we have people like yourself on our board. Now, we want to talk to Brother Curtis. You've been pretty solid. You know, you're the elder of the group tonight, brother, man. I mean, talk to us, man. I mean, you've been listening in. What's your thoughts on everything? And you were once a youngster like them, and, okay, I actually like them because I'm almost old as this, too. But talk to me, Brother Curtis. What's on your mind, man?
I'm 87 now. I've made 87 around the sun. I quit school because I wanted to wear shoes and carry me overcoats. And I thought I would get a job.
Curtis, I'm sorry, Curtis, is that your bad? Is that you?
I don't know. I can hear some twinkling in the background, but it's not in my house.
Not you? Okay,
yeah.
Let me see. Let me see some people here and see if I can talk to you.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. Now I can hear you better.
Okay. I wanted to wear alligator shoes and cashmere overcoats. So, you know, my father was in business, but he wasn't buying me none of that, but he always had me wearing nice clothes, you know. So I quit school and got in a little bit of trouble. They took me down to the 79th precinct with a friend of mine named Billy Macklin, and they beat him almost to death, and I was
man,
in
wow.
room. I was 14, 15 years old. And I told him, I said, you hit me, you're going to have to deal with my father. And most of them knew my father because my father was a businessman in the community, you know. So they just left me up a little bit. But they beat Billy Macklin so bad, man, I thought that he wasn't going to make it, you know, that black jack that they hit you on your head with, you know. But anyway, I stayed out of school for a little while, and my father and my mother talked me into going back. And I went back to school, and I did fairly well. I didn't get into no real trouble. The school that I went to was an old called boys high school, and they excelled athletics. Every year they
Curtis,
won an
AJ. You got to speak up. Come on, it's kind of drowning you out.
Yeah, ain't it?
It's not you.
I can hear it, but it's no, it ain't.
Okay,
it.
Is anybody else got some speakers on that they can hear that's kind of drowning us out? If you would kind of mute it for
no,
me. I don't want to try to mute everybody.
Okay, I'm going to mute it.
Yeah. Okay. Now, go ahead.
Let me know when you want me to finish.
All right, go
yeah.
ahead.
So my father, he talked me into going back to school, and I did pretty well. I got back in. Somebody fighting.
Go ahead.
So I did pretty good, and I graduated. I graduated, you know, when I was almost 19 years old, and went down to J.C. Smith University in North Carolina, you know, where I met a lot of people that I had conversation with, and I could see the other side of the problem, you know, which was education. And I didn't like it down there because of the social conditions. It was in Charlotte, North Carolina, J.C. Smith University, you know. So I left there and went to Tulsa, Oklahoma, and I stayed down there a little while and came back to New York and into the snake pit, man. They I'm going to have to do this in segments because all of it
okay.
together makes sense. All of it together makes sense, but when I try to separate the different aspects of growing up, leaving high school, going back to high school, going through all of that, and then going to get some college education, it might not seem much, but the interval of the circumstances and the situation were mind-boggling, because most of my friends after I quit high school, they were offering marijuana and drugs, and I never was offered into that, you know.
Okay, and that's another thing that's just prison pipeline. Uh-huh.
Yeah. The one thing that kept me off of that stuff was all of them saw something in me and told me, don't you never use none of that shit. If
mm-hmm.
I see you using them, I'll kick your ass. Now, I was
just
in
like
a,
that.
I was in a, just like that. One of the fellas who was in the game, leaders of the big game, was Big Black. You ever heard of him? From Attica?
Not right off, I can't remember.
From Attica Rebellion? He was one of the leaders in the
Big
Attica
Black,
Rebellion.
Yeah. But let me get in there, if I can. I want to get Mayotte back in here. And then hold your topic, hold your point. You know, you definitely going to come back around the round table. But what I want to do is speak a little bit right off, if I can, y'all, on... Now, the policy of the school-to-prison pipeline, as Brother Curtis and all of you have so brilliantly talked about, again, Nicole, we'll definitely give you time here to speak, and I see some other people on the line that's lit up, so we definitely are going to excuse y'all. But let me say this here. The policy of the zero-tolerance policy that Sister Brittany spoke about earlier, it doesn't discriminate whether you're, especially when it comes to minority and people of color, it doesn't matter if the infraction is minor or major. Like you just said, it's a no-tolerance. I don't give a doggone if you accidentally threw a piece of bubble gum and it hit the teacher's desk, or you may start fighting a kid in the hallway. Both of the instances are basically, when it comes to African-American and people of color, minorities, it's basically the same. There's no discrimination about who was worse or who wasn't. Okay? So the infractions here is not about how it happened, but who was the perpetrator of it. Okay? And guess what? Blacks are basically three times likely to be expelled from school than whites, criminalized for simply throwing a bird plane they may have created across the room, okay? And these children today who are adolescents today, watch this now. These people are the ones who become more or less three times likely to commit a life of crime when they're out of school. Why? Because now that they're on the street, they have nothing to divert their attention away distract them from learning in the classroom. And watch this one. Now, I'm going to say this. It may hurt some of our ears. But in a large sense, blacks are glad to be out of the classroom, some of us are. Why? Because we've always been taught by master during the slave plantation, do what your teacher say. Do what the master say. Get up and read this, this, that. So this here precept was taught into the minds of our kids on the slave plantations to obey master, mind master. If you don't, they're going to send you down the river, Johnny, just like they did your uncle and daddy before you. Okay. Now, in that perspective, before I get a little closer here, Mayotte, talk to me about what I just tell you, said that now. I mean, as far as the discriminatory policies, and again, the infractions being minor or major, it doesn't make a difference. It has the same outlook when it comes to people of color. What are your thoughts on that?
Ashe, I do believe it. I've seen it myself, you know, just being in school, how, you know, some students would be treated way different from the minority students.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, what the heck, they did the same thing. You know what I mean? Why don't they get the same consequences as, you know, the minority students? And it's simply because of how, you know, how the teacher, you know, we have to evaluate the teachers and the people that are in those positions to teach the children. They have their own prejudiceness, you know, they have their own ideas and thoughts, and they project them on the students, which is not their job. They are supposed to teach, you know, but we still have those instances where it's still going on and no one's saying anything about it. And that's where we have to change the people that are teaching our, you know, our upcoming youth actually doing their jobs as far as teaching the stuff that they need to know and changing the curriculum. But back to this behavior-wise, they don't really sit down and ask the child, you know, what's going on in your life. They'll do that with, you know, students that are not minorities, you know, Caucasian students. I've watched it happen. Mm-hmm. And it's like, well, they're all our children, you know what I mean, at this point in time, and we don't know what's going on in their home that makes them, you know, stand out or act out or anything like that. So I feel like being more, having more communication with, you know, your students, if you care, that's the part, you know, we'll cut down on, you know, the behavior that's going on from a student, but they don't look at it like that. Like I said, they have their own agenda. They have their own mindset that they project on the students, not their jobs. But at the same time, there is that unfair treatment that needs to be addressed across the board. It doesn't matter if you go to an all predominantly black school, or even, you know, schools that I've went to, you know, that Edmond, Moore, places like that where it's not a large population of us, but that is slowly changing over time. I've seen, you know, I have younger brothers and sisters that go to those same schools, and I go up to visit and go, you know, go to their programs, and that's changing. So just really focusing on everything being fair across the board, and it needs to be done. And I've heard, you know, students, I tell students, if I write to them, like, you know, high school students, middle school students, even at that too, to voice their opinion. I mean, voice your opinion, voice the unfairness that's going on now so that us adults can come in and enforce those changes to happen. And, you know, that's the only way that we can really combat that. And really make them do their jobs and make them focus on educating the children versus projecting their own biased opinions of their own beliefs on the children. That's all I got to say in my
career. Hey, very beautiful, y'all. You know what we do on the show, y'all. We want to make sure everybody, listen carefully, exhaust what they want to say, because we've got enough time, we got listening ears. So, again, even you, Nicole, you've been pretty patient. Tell me what's on your mind, what you heard tonight. I mean, if you want to express, you know, again, the topic is school-to-prison pipeline. I mean, do you have any histories? Or do you just want to just talk to us about anything? I mean, come on, let yourself flow. Are you there, Nicole? And if not, we'll go. We'll call her back up here in a minute. She may be doing something else, but she's definitely here. Maybe cooking some more of that chicken. She thinks she's slick. That's what she's trying to do. We ain't going to let her get us on that, though.
I'm in the car driving right now.
Oh, are you? Oh, okay. Well, do you just want to listen? I mean, it's on you. We're just talking about it's a prison school crack line, so just break in when you get ready.
All right, so I did want to say something about just the behavior and the way that they treat black students, which contributes to the prison populations and them projecting on who's going to wind up in those positions and things like that. My oldest child actually quit. We withdrew her last year from going to end school, and she's going straight virtual now because of an incident. The first thing was she goes to Edmond, Santa Fe, by the way. And the first instance was that she was blamed by a white student for stealing a ring that she was wearing. And his reasoning was that she was a black bitch, is what he said, and she couldn't afford it.
Oh, really?
And it was a white student. And I called up to the school and had this, you know, addressed, went up there. They promised me that they would take care of the situation. They would reprimand the boy. Nothing ever ended up happening to the student, despite me pressing the issue. And then the final situation last year that led to us pulling her out completely to go virtual was that a lot of the black students walked out, and not just black students, it was students of all races, but mostly black students walked out in support of Julius Jones. When Governor Stitt was going to execute him, the students walked out of their classrooms. They had protests at their school.
Right, I heard. That was nice. Uh-huh.
Yes, and my oldest was a part of those protests, and as they were leaving the school in front of teachers and faculty members and things like that, there were groups of white students calling them monkeys and other racial slurs as they were going out to protest these things, and the teachers were sitting there and allowing it to happen and weren't reprimanding or, you know, interjecting whatsoever. And I think that they breed this intentional hostility of racial issues. Michael, were you saying something?
No, I said no question. No, go ahead. I said yes. Of course, they breed that hostility in the students.
And it doesn't get any better. You know, I thought, you know, I noticed a lot, you know, as a kid, walking to school with my brother who's black, he was often taunted and chased and, you know, things like
that.
We were going to Amber Pocasset, which is about 15 minutes outside of Chickasha. It's an itty-bitty town out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But I feel like, and in that school, we also had we had one single Latino student, and I can recall a time when the teacher told him that he'd never amount to anything. His parents were farm workers, and they said that he was going to be a loser and become just like them. And,
right.
You know. And there's a lot of that with teachers. I don't think that teachers get into a lot of it, especially nowadays. I don't think they get into teaching because it's a passion. I think they look at it as an easy paycheck. And that contributes to the bullshit.
All right. Well, good. Now, let me say this here, Nicole. Thank you so much. Oh, man, I'm sorry to hear that your children have gone through that. But let me tell y'all something. Listen carefully. If you know of any instances like these or continue to go on with our students in today's world, listen carefully, everyone. Please contact Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse. Listen at that name. Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse. And we will definitely go down and fight for these students. I don't care if they're orange, pink, white, gray, blue, or orange, or whatever color. That child is being done wrong. Here we come. These children should not have to be involved in a hostile environment. They should be given the respect due and honor them, and yet at the same time, they can be expelled or yelling out in class. But yet the teachers and principals and things, they promote this kind of force. Hold on, we cannot tolerate that, y'all. Oh, no, we cannot. Let me say this here, and then we'll get ready to open the floor, as y'all know, basically any topic that you want to, which, again, we're still on the school. All right, fine. But let me get this here in, if I can, real quick. Black and minority children have been disproportionately represented in the school-to-prison pipeline. We all understand that, okay? Research indicates that there is a racial gap. Okay, now all of y'all speaking tonight has basically shown me that this is reality of what we're talking about, because each one of you know of instances more than once where Hispanic, were disproportionately singled out for school infractions and basically being expelled or suspended. What this comes down to, y'all, is disciplining a student in disproportionate measure, and it does indeed depend on their skin color. I'm getting ready to give a few graphic examples here, statistics, and then I want everybody else to just chime in. As you know, this is now where we can just break in and talk the way we want. I'll maybe target a couple more of you, especially Brother Wilson. I definitely wanted to hear you talk about how you decided to break that cycle of imprisonment with your brother and father. I mean, man, this is definitely, as you see, I listen, so definitely going to get back to you in just a second. All right. Examples of this uneven response in school discipline is criminal justice system. It can be found as follows. Listen carefully, y'all. The discipline in the schools tend to be harsher for people of color than white people, even though there is a difference in the offenses committed. Students of color are 3 times more likely to than white receive out-of-school suspension and less likely to complete their education as a consequence. They are also more likely to be suspended more than one time. Students of color are 70% more likely to be arrested and more likely to serve time in juvenile detention systems. Many states allow adolescents to be tried as adults. Listen to this, y'all. Many states allow adolescents to be tried as adults if they meet certain criteria, but also allow for discretion in making this decision. People of color, according to the studies, are more likely to be tried as adults than white peers who commit the same similar offenses. Talk to me, Brother Wilson. What's going on with you, man? You've been pretty ugly.
Can I speak?
Yeah. Go ahead. Against Brother Wilson, we'll keep a kid back. Come on, Brother Curtis.
Okay. There's one thing that I've been involved in over the years. I was the president of the Parents Association in Brooklyn where my children went. And there was a principal named Altman. He was a Zionist Israeli Jew. And he hated black people.
Mm-hmm.
And parents would come up to me and tell me what he was saying to their children and asking me if we could get rid of him and get another principal there. So I had a Parents Association meeting, and we decided that we were going to petition the Board of Education that we didn't want Dr. Altman in our school anymore. He told me he was an intelligence officer in the military, and he treated them people just like he was the captain, and they and they were enlisted people. The parents and children, they paid his salary, and he hated them. But the thing that I learned from that, being the president of the Parents Association, looking deep down into it, he was practicing hypnosis, mind control over some of the kids whose parents felt that he was the best thing that ever happened to their children. That he was playing games with their brains. And I saw these same games being played on soldiers when I was in the military.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to relate back to when I was in the military, some of the things that Dr. Altman was doing to those kids when my 2 children was going to public school 305 on Madison Street and Tompkins Avenue. They were hypnotizing these kids with bullshit, which was an influence over them. If you did this here, this is what you're going this is what he was going to happen. It's almost like the game that the young lady was saying that they played on her when she was in elementary school. But it's much more dangerous now because they have perfected mind control with psychology and how to use that psychology to twist these kids' minds. Look, you got some of them thinking that in order for them to be a man, you got to be a tough guy and go to jail.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
But that's how some of these kids think. Now, the guy who taught me hypnosis in the military, he was a stone cracker. He said, "I can make you kill your mother." I said, "No, you can't." He said, "You say yes, I can. I can give you a real gun. I can hypnotize you and give you a real gun with one bullet in it and tell you to kill your mother and tell you that it's a plate gun that I'm giving you. And it's 5 o'clock tomorrow afternoon when you get home, you open up that door and blow your mother's brains out thinking that you got a plate gun in your hand and it's a real gun. You see, you're not going to do anything that you would not ordinarily do while you're under hypnosis. But if they can alter the situation and make it seem like it's not so, what you're doing, you do what they say you do, and there are a lot of people in jail today because their brains was messed up by some of
the teachers that
are in these programs that they're deliberately messing up these kids' minds. Now, I brought it to the attention of people.
That's exactly why we're on the show tonight, especially with these young people today who are actually seeing a lot of what you're talking about today and who themselves hasn't had an opportunity to really experience life's real ups and downs yet. But as they can continue to grow older, they're going to be seeing more and more things like that. Fallon, how do we change all this?
Through
I think it really, for the school-to-prison pipeline, it really comes down to understanding and addressing the disparities in our school system. So, you know, applying the policy fairly, you know, providing a supportive environment. And I don't know how many people are aware with psychology terms, but unconditional positive regard is something with counseling. It basically means the basic acceptance and support of a person regardless of what that person says or does. So if teachers can adopt that unconditional positive regard to students and provide a supportive environment for them, it would close the school-to-prison gap. So,
okay.
And then, you know, professional training and development and mental health training. And then the biggest thing right now is probably allowing history to be read and taught. So allowing the CRT to be taught by teachers and not banning books, allowing kids to be curious and reading books that they want to read. But I think just investing in our students and investing in their health and well-being is at the top of my list for how we fix the school-to-prison pipeline.
Wow. Hey, Fowler, that was very – I tell you what, you can – if you run for the president of the United States, you got my vote.
I sure.
Yeah, I'm serious. You got my vote. Look here, you tell me I'm behind the scenes. I'm the one. I do the media outlet. I heard you talking. I said, well, I'm gonna show her something. We're gonna get her on this show. We're gonna get her to talk. Yeah, we're gonna. Yeah, we ain't letting
Michael,
you go anymore.
Talk now.
Come on.
He's the man. Talk.
You and we ain't playing with you. Come on, Brittany, you've been quiet. Come on, talk to me, y'all. Y'all, the show is y'all now. You go on the topic. Let's kick it.
Oh, man, I'm here. I think that another way to be able to bridge the gap to lower or rid the school-to-prison pipeline would be to follow the new suit of action that schools are taking and implementing meditation instead of kicking them out of school, giving them the opportunity, or even suspending them from school or sending them to in-house suspension. They're able to go sit with behavior interventionists to be able to practice meditation. And with them being able to practice meditation, that's giving them a better academic performance, that's boosting their focus and concentration. It's also reducing stress and anxiety and improving short-term memory. I think that when you're not psychologically cognitive of the things that you could do to implement small things to reduce anxiety and improving the stress level within students, I think that it would give students the opportunity to say, you know what, maybe I do have a mental health issue going on. Maybe being able to sit down and talk things out will give me better social skills, that'll give me better conflict resolution skills instead of ridding them away. Also, if you have a disruptive kid in the class, give them something conducive to do, to grade papers, to be able to be the teacher's assistant, instead of saying, you know what, you really pissed me off today, so I don't even want to deal with you. Let's not try to approach these students, because even with them getting suspended, that's leaving them out to become drug dealers. That's increasing the number of teen pregnancies that are going on. That's increasing the number of teen deaths that are going on, or not even just teen students. So if you give them the opportunity to be in a place of education, educate them. Education goes beyond the book. Education is teaching them life experience along with saying, you know what, you were wrong. Okay, well, it's cool to say you were wrong, but can you give me corrective criticism on how I can fix my behavior to be more effective in the realm of education, to be able to improve my academics, to be able to improve my attendance.
Ashe, come on, man. I know you got something to add to that. And Brother Wilson, you getting out of here, man, trying to act like you don't know what's going on, man. I ain't letting you go. Come on, Ms. Yamia.
Most definitely I'll add on to that. Also do want to add that we need more diverse teachers. And I say that because for me,
that's real.
I grew up, all I had was, you know, Caucasian teachers. You know what I mean? All I heard was, you know, about Caucasian heroes. You know, I feel like the curriculum needs to be adjusted as far as highlighting all the good in each, culture, that they can see someone that looks like me did this, you know, someone like me created this, someone like me did this, and not just when they're, you know, in their junior, senior year, you know, like throughout, you know, middle school and towards the, you know, towards high school. That needs to be changed. And I love how she mentioned meditation. That was beautiful, because I'm seeing, I have a chapter. We have a chapter in Tennessee that's actually taking kids out of school and doing actual meditation with just kids. They actually did that 2 or 3 days. I think it was like maybe 1 or 2 days ago. They had posted the video with them taking, probably it was like 30 to 35 maybe, maybe around that area of young black men, and actually just sitting down in the park. Of course, one person had to be armed, you know, just to make sure nobody interrupted, you know, the actual session. But, yeah, I mean, meditation is really good. You have to learn what redirection is. You're going to have to redirect those students that do have behavior problems. Like she was saying, you know, as far as grading papers, doing this, doing that, you know, on the side. I've noticed that I've kind of did a little bit in the daycare field a little bit, and, you know, around that age, 2 and 3, they're going to be a little bit excited, and, you know, some of them like to bite and do other stuff. So I learned that portion of redirection, but it can be used throughout the whole school system. We just have to have the teachers, faculty, the school board behind what we're doing right now, and if they're not willing to get on board, we already know what they're pushing for. We already know what they're lacking. And if they don't want to get on board, that should tell the parents right there that that school or that particular whatever area that they're in is not geared to make sure that your students and future students are coming out of here successful and not coming out of here lacking certain things, so that when they become adults and they try to control their behavior or they try to, you know, just operate out here in the world, you know, we can correct some of those things at a young age, you know, before they hit the street, the prison pipeline type situation that we have going on now. But the attention and the focus to be on the students and improving that, but we have to have the backings of the teachers. Even if we have to go to the school board and say, you know what, this is not working.
All of
this, and this is, it, you know, is a problem. You know, addressing those issues, and if they don't want to address them, then we need to take it a step further, because
yes,
they don't
ma'am.
Respond. To, some of them don't respond to the parents constantly telling them the issue. They rather ignore it or kick the student out, or, you know, try to get it to that point where, okay, well, their voice doesn't matter anymore. They're not even here anymore. And that cycle continues with the next batch of students, with the next batch of young children that come in into the school system. So it's a lot of work that needs to be done. I don't know exactly where we're going to come from first, but we got to start somewhere, because it's not a good environment for the children that are coming out now. We don't want that prison to pipeline situation to keep going on, but we have to use our voices. We have to make sure our voices are heard. And, you know, with Michael reaching, you know, telling, hey, call, really do call. Like, seriously, really do call. If we all stay quiet about what's going on, we're going to continue to keep getting the same cycle going on, and we all just say, hey, it got to end somewhere. You know what I mean? It has to. You know, we don't want our young children to end up in jail, end up on the street, end up in gangs, because they don't know how to control themselves. They don't know how to handle themselves within. You know, they act out for certain reasons. It's up to us as educators, as adults,
yes.
to help them to manage their, you know, their emotions and manage their actions and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, school system is failing them because they don't care about that. They know, oh, you know, I'm going to focus on that main student that I like, that athlete.
Yeah, yeah,
That straight-A student, valedictorian. You know, that's their focus. They're not focused on everyone passing and making, you know, having something successful at the end of a high school journey. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Hey, you know, let me tell you, hey, boy, y'all lighting it up tonight. And Brother Wilson, hey, look here, man. You can pretend that you sleep, but you're going to hear my voice in your sleep tonight if you don't say something in just a minute. But let me say something before I get to you, though, young man. Now, Mayette, everything was going just good until you agreed with Brittany. We need to do the meditation. We need to do this here. Now, everything was all right until you get to confirm what you had to say. Why did you do that to me? I was going to tell her about it. I suggested that. But no, you had to go in and say, yeah, what she said is that. I'm mad for y'all know how I do, man. Hey, Brother Wilson, man, how has this worked for you, man? I mean, since you say you've gone on a different course than what your father and brother did, again, they're great men in their own right. Well, what's up with you, man? I mean, talk to me. Has it worked for you, what you put together? How's that going?
Yeah. See, like, with me, like, seeing their mistake, like, built me to the man I am today. Like, me and my dad, we still talk about how his street life was and the things that he did, you know what I mean? Like, and the stuff that I'm doing now, when I'm 21, I'm in college, you know, I played 3 years of college basketball. He was in the penitentiary, you know what I'm saying? So like in Hans, like it can happen to me. It can happen to anybody. Cause I've seen it happen time and time and time and time again, you know what I mean? But like, so I kind of wanted to touch on the lack of education here, like, and how really can transpire, because you got to think, like, in Oklahoma, we're currently 49th in education. So due to the low education rates, I believe that it is an exact correlation to the fact that we are last in voter registration and participation in the United States, and we're also second in America in total incarceration. So, and I think all that goes back to education, my honest opinion. When you're poorly educated, you can't think for yourself as you get older. Due to the lack of knowledge that you get from back then, you have a poor wage job that nobody wants. You know what I mean? Then you can't afford the basic care for your family, so that's when you go into drug dealing, robberies, et cetera. Then guess what?
Come on, man.
You in the system. You in the system. All of that ties back into education. We, especially in Oklahoma, you know, from just graduating high school a couple of years ago, we never learned about Malcolm X. We never learned about this, that, and the third. We never learned about proper people. Like, you know what I mean, that we should learn in America today. Only people that we knew was George Washington, you know, Ben Franklin, Thomas Jefferson, Christopher Columbus, and we knew Martin Luther King during just February, and Rosa Parks. We learned that she said no to the white man on the bus, and we knew Martin Luther King had a dream.
Yes.
The core people that founded America don't get any recognition. So all, I mean, it's a part of the system, y'all. It really is a part of the system. They, I mean, they're smart. I don't agree when people say the system is failing us. I don't think it's failing us. I think it is intending to do exactly what it set out to do. So it's not failing. It's actually very successful. It's
gotcha.
To make it fail. So
that's my gotcha, brother. That makes sense. I hadn't looked at it like that, man. That's a system not failing us, because if they put policies in place that was designed to help us, we couldn't say it intentionally failed us. So you're right. It comes down to deliberately putting the policies in place to make sure. Y'all watch this one. They're making sure that we have a high incarceration rate, high murder rate, high robbery rate, high poverty rate, which in turn means what? School to prison pipeline. Now, we're going to go through, y'all, we got about 3 minutes apiece here. We're going to go with you, Fallon. And then we're going to go to Nicole. And we're going to move on from that point on, y'all. And then, as we know, Mayette will be second to the last, and we'll get ready to get out of the show. But right now, Fallon, you got 3 minutes to talk on any topic you want to, because it was very, very inspirational tonight, y'all. I mean, I'm like a fireball tonight. Y'all got my ears and eyes, mind twisted. You know, I love it. Y'all, I'm inspired by you. Go ahead on, Fallon. What's going on with you? Who's that talking slick? Brittany, was that Brittany? Just... Oh. I thought that was Brittany talking slick.
I'm still here. I'm still here.
No, go ahead. I'm messing with you. All right, go ahead, Fallon. You're going to get ready to talk in just a minute. Go ahead, Fallon.
I just want to thank everyone for being here and everyone for speaking out, because what everyone said this evening has been on point. And what Kevin just spoke on with the educational system and how it doesn't teach us about any of the founding people, you know, going all the way back to the Native Americans. And I went through that in my high school, and I didn't get a proper education really until I got myself to college, or if I did my own research. And, you know, that comes back to everything. And what Kevin said, the system is doing what it was intended to do. It's systemic racism. That's what it was intended to do. That's what a bunch of institutions are. They're set out to target minorities of all types. You know, and that's really what funnels into my whole point on the mental health also. The systems are not helping the mental health. We don't have funding in mental health. You know, there's no training for the teachers in schools for mental health. Mental health services aren't even provided to a lot of people, or a lot of people don't know what mental health services they're allowed to go to. And that's why I think it's really important. Every kid goes to school. So if we implement mental health services in school, it will solve a lot of problems that we are facing today. And if teachers show that unconditional positive regard, it will help a lot of kids not go into the school-to-prison pipeline.
Wow. Wow, that's very beautiful. Oh, man, look up, man. Let me tell y'all, you know what? I ain't going to take long with this. Y'all, we have developed a relationship, just us talking on the shows a couple of times we've done, to where we can get on here, relay our interventions and our thoughts and desires about how things should be running. Guess what, y'all? If we put that into a pamphlet, now I want y'all to let you know, Curtis and I was talking before y'all got on, what we want to do, we want to open up our newspaper again. And we'd like for you young people to help us by editing it. And I'll just watch this one. This is also going to give you an opportunity to widespread your ideologies and concepts, beliefs, and opinions in what you are doing, because you would also have a section yourself in saying that we're going to have this rally, we're going to do this here, we're going to bridge the gap, blah, 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 blah. And for the most part, they won't let Curtis say something here in a minute. So I want y'all to think clearly and give a little bit of thought on that, because, again, this is going to be worldwide as well, because what we're doing tonight, our pamphlets, it's going to be starting off, but we have to now get y'all a printing booth or whatever. I don't know if y'all know how to help me with that, but I want y'all to start thinking in that area, and hopefully we can start getting our opinions and whatever y'all saying, put it in print like you do with, like say, a newsletter, you know, like the new people doing in the news, you know. So, you know what I mean? Just pass around in the neighborhoods. Drop some at the campuses, the schools, the stores, shopping malls, you know, and put our address and things. I'm telling y'all, man, we can make this thing work. Come on, Nicole. Y'all think about that, though. Nicole, come on.
Come on, Nicole.
Nicole trying to hide. She trying to...
Down.
Yeah. come on, our brother. Curtis, with your 3 minutes, brother, and then we'll move on to Miss Brittany now. Miss Brittany, the troublemaker.
We're gonna make it work. I'm working on an outline for a monthly news sheet.
That's what I'm talking about. Come on, tell them that.
One or two pages with big print, plain, simple English language. That can't nobody say that they don't understand. Because we're going to deal with the one thing that made the Black Panther Party so popular was the Black Panther Party news service. Old people and young people understood it, what was going on in the communities, where they were at. And that's what we got to do, let the people know what's going on, just like this program you got here. So we start off with 1 month, and maybe by the end of the year, we'd be down to 1 a week. We have to build up a readership based in truth. We tell the truth to the people, and somebody lied to them, they going to know they lying.
Now, we're going to straighten them out. That's the purpose of it, man. Put the publications out
there.
The same way
you do on this program, you know?
Yes, sir, we're going to straighten them out.
That was the secret to the greatest organization of Black people that ever existed in the United States of America. The Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. That's why they locked them up and killed them.
That's right.
Because they was dealing with the truth. They told the police, stop killing people in our community. And Nixon and J. Edgar Hoover, the intelligence community, and the military came down on them. There are people that are in jail now that has been in jail for 56 years, and they ain't never been convicted of a crime. We have to point out these contradictions and what's going on and what they printing about in the newspaper about Herzegovina and Iraq and all of these places.
Rain and all them places.
They lie.
Yeah.
We got to tell the truth. Once we start to telling the truth and people pick it up in everyday language and start to talking about it amongst themselves, you're going to create mentors who these young people who are having problems in school are going to be able to.
1 minute left, brother. Keep talking.
Something is wrong, and it's got to be corrected. And the only people out there that's going to correct it is us, plain and simple.
You said it.
Regardless of the consequences, Malcolm was right, man. I mean, why you think Why do you think they come down so hard on Malcolm X? Because he was right. He didn't believe in lying. He didn't believe in lying. He didn't believe in BSing people. He said, this is
That's the truth.
Take it or leave it. You know?
He spoke truth to power, brother, man. And a lot of them don't do that. And that's why he, Martin Luther King, others at that time, when you were talking about bringing a group, a community of people together against the fascist governments of the United Snakes of America, then you're already talking about, you're already talking about, you want to have a fight. And that's what they said. Them people, they said they were too powerful, like Fred Hampton and them people, man. I'm telling you, them people, young people, and George Jackson, those people at them young ages, man, were like they were 40 and 50 years old when they were 22 and 23 because of their thoughts, philosophical. You see? So you're definitely on point. Let me go here, Brother McCody, and I'll get back to you. Brother Wilson, come on, talk to her. I don't know if it's Nicole, you back yet? She's still online, y'all, so she must be doing something with the kids. All right, go ahead, Brother Wilson. Take your 3 minutes of parting shots, and let me know what's on your mind, bro.
I think it's so cool that y'all touched on Malcolm X and the Black Panther Party because I strongly study them and see how they did. And that's really what motivates me now because, you know, Fred Hampton was 21 years old when he died. And he's the same age I was. And how they lead that movement back then when the heart of the civil rights movement was going on.
Oh, man, it was something else.
I think I could use my voice now, you know, and replicate what they did. You know, Malcolm, you know, all these guys never seen the age of 40 years old. So with doing the social justice group with Bridges Gap and everything, we know the dangers of it. We know the negative press we're going to get. But in order to see true change, you gotta address the elephant in the room, and I think with us being on this show, you know, with us, you know, reaching out to different events and going to different things, that's exactly how we do it. And Michael, the biggest thing that I remember from the Justice for Shed is when we went walked underneath the camera, and then there was a white guy in the truck, and you were talking to him on the sidewalk, and how he was looking at you so like with disgust, you know, and in such anger. You know what I mean? And that stuck out to me more than anything because I was like, wow, like, I don't even feel comfortable. I didn't know if I would do something like that. And just to see the true passion and what
they don't scare me,
bro.
I ain't worried about it.
You know what I'm saying? But look, how many people feel like that? You know what I mean?
They don't scare me
because
I make people
like
I'm incompetent revolutionaries like you just spoke about. I ain't worried about it. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. And But especially in the state of Oklahoma, like there's a lot of wrong down here that happens, and we day by day we don't talk about it because you know that's not a California thing, a Florida thing, a Texas thing. Like it can't happen here in the state of Oklahoma. It happens every day. I've seen it.
Yeah.
We've all seen it. Obviously, with Justice Brashad, Julius Jones. You know, even my dad's situation right now, like stuff like this happens every single day. And until we start addressing that, like and we treat it as something like this happens every day, then it won't get any better. But I just want to thank y'all personally, just to me as an individual, as a young man, for letting me be on the show and, rocking out with y'all. So, but Michael, that was the biggest thing that stuck out to me out of all that. I just wanted to tell you why it was on my mind. So,
well, thank you, brother, man.
Thank
like
you
you
for
said,
giving me that thank you for giving me that motivation. You know what I mean?
Oh,
to speak
man,
up, like
it's
in the further
it's a pleasure
speak
and
up.
Honor because, like you said, people going to look upside your head when you're talking about something they don't like hearing. So, I mean, whatever. If he's going to be down there next month, bring his ass on down, he can hear some more because I'm going to beat me again. Matter of fact, get the bull on. I'm going to have a bull on but speak a little more louder for him where he can hear me. You know what I mean? So, straight up. All right, sister. Brittany, I got to cut you down about 2 minutes because, y'all, we got about 6 minutes left. But go ahead and get your party shots in. We want to give everybody an opportunity.
That's all right. I like to be the tail dog anyway.
Hey, look here. Yeah, let me hold on now. I'm going to let you have a couple of my minutes. Just
about
I got to talk back.
But it's about good trouble, though. It's about good trouble. So, Mike, I just wanted to take the time to tell you thank you so much for having Bridging the Gap team back on the air with you guys tonight. I really appreciate the other night hearing one of my favorite songs that I was taught in elementary by my PE teacher, Lisa Wheeler. She's tuned in. Thank you for teaching us to learn the lyrics of The Greatest Love of All because I really do believe that children are our future, and we have to teach them well to let them lead the way. But we also have to put ourselves in position to be able to teach them and instruct them so that they can guide us into our next phases of life, just as, the young adults are getting the opportunity now to pave the way, well, not just pave the way, but follow in the footsteps of the greats that have already come before us. And to anybody that's searching for a hero, if you can't find a hero, look for the hero within yourself. If you don't see that in the world, you become that, because it's on you to become that. It's on you to step into your purpose. It's on you to step into your destiny. It's on you to be able to lead the next generation. Even if you don't feel like you have a voice, you get that unction because you are the next voice of the next generation. So, again, I just want to take the time to say thank you to everybody on this call and to everybody that is tuned in and supporting us all as the next generation to come. So
thank you so much for that. I see a couple other light ups that's been on 721.
Good evening,
you can,
Michael,
I don't mean to cut you off.
You
got about a minute if you want to say something. 721.
Everybody
45.
On the phone. When I get a moment. Oh, okay. This is Sister Joyce out of Oklahoma City. And I'm going to tell
you, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good, thank you. My brother, how you guys doing this evening?
We're doing great.
Good.
You know, we've been taking it on this
very
show.
Good. Now, it is always so uplifting. There's energy always in this room when you come in.
Oh.
But I just wanted to piggyback on one of the things you guys were discussing this evening, and I have to apologize for coming on late, but I want to come on because I have something very important that I feel that is good for our community. But as far as the Panthers, and don't forget Timothy, I think his last name was Hutton. He was a little 16-year-old who was first killed. So the Panthers, as a person who grew up, or was a youth doing their time, they really, people say they can't handle the truth. And they really can't when it comes to us, because they want to paint us with one paintbrush when in reality we belong on the other side of that paintbrush.
Wow,
because the Panthers did many, many, many positive things for the community, like starting daycare centers, starting the breakfast programs, making sure that the children had shots. I mean, they were very, 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 very active in the community. But see, they're not going to show you that or tell us that, because that would take away from the image that they're wanting to paint of us.
Yes.
But brothers and
yes.
sisters, what I want to bring to the community tonight is opportunity. They talk about climate change, and hopefully everyone on this call is at least familiar with the idea of climate change. So what I need for us to start doing is asking ourselves, where do we stand on climate change? Do you believe that change is coming? We can see it right now. You go outside, ooh, that heat hits you right in the face. It's always been summer, winter, fall, and spring. But it's just a difference in the atmosphere these days. So brothers and sisters, what we're looking at disaster preparedness. Are we prepared for a disaster? If a disaster was to hit us today, whether it be natural or man-made, how prepared are we? I won't say individually, but how prepared are we to tackle, or do we have the necessary tools? The other day I was talking with some people, and they were saying if the electricity went out, who can operate a manual can opener? Now, brother, some of you kids on here, y'all are real young. How many of you guys operate a manual? My grandchildren, they don't know the first thing about a manual can opener. They didn't know what.
I think I'd be in trouble. I'd be in a couple of damn fingers off to do something like
this. Exactly. It's time for us to start work. Those of you who are in the military, you'll know about the duffel bag and how you have to have, for recall purposes, you have to have that thing ready. You have to have certain things in that duffel bag the last.
Let me get ready to come. I got to cut y'all. So, hey, y'all, we got about 10 seconds. I'm sorry, y'all. We went overboard tonight. But you do that when you're having fun. Y'all be
think about
ready to
this. I have to prepare.
Yeah, I thank y'all. I'll see you. Now, go ahead, man. We just off the air now, but we're still in our back room.
It was so many beautiful quotes you guys gave out, beautiful expressions of how we can actually make change. You know, I'm coming from a revolutionary point of view, so the revolution, he said, the revolution has always been in the youth. The youth always carried the revolution. So we've got to look at what we're fighting and what we're facing right now. The changes that we make now are going to, the next generation, they're going to have their own of revolution. You know, they're going to have their own section of the revolution to either carry on or to change. So we've got to look at that. Anything we're fighting for right now, we are fighting for them. We are fighting their future. You know, some of us are, you know, older, you know, maybe in our 30s and above or whatever the case may be.
Laugh. I'm me 30. Lord, I don't want to see 30 again.
She said older, then she said 30.
Yeah.
30 and up. I'm just saying 30 and up.
I'm trying to show out because I'm old enough. That's what she be doing. I got to talk to her anyway. So I'll be all right.
So, we've got to see that. You know, Michael's generation fought battles that, you know, for us.
Yeah, thank you.
Now,
thank you, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
We reap the benefits. You know what I mean, from their fight and vice versa. It's just going to trickle down. So us being in our youth, us being young, we are the voices for them, voices for their future. They're going to have their own revolution when they start fighting. But we are making it easier for them to have, you know, to be treated fairly, to be educated fully, you know, to not be discriminated against. You know what I mean? All these things we're fighting for, we're fighting for. You know, and they are the next revolution. They are the ones that are going to come up and follow behind us and going to add to what we're already doing now. So I just say that for inspiration, just so that even though you may not see the fruits of labor now and you may only
see
a small portion of it, don't think that it's not making a difference. Think that it's not making dramatic changes in what's going on now, because we all are putting pressure on this system. We all are putting pressure on the higher up. You know, they see us come to an event, so they see stand up, not giving up. We're putting pressure on their necks. That's going to make them have to make a decision at the end of the day. You know, they can't keep riding that same agenda if we don't, you know, we're standing up talking, standing up fighting for equality, fighting for our children to be taught, you know, properly, you know, and not see the agenda of the, you know, school in the pipeline thing. So, you know, guys, that's all I can say. I just want everybody to be encouraged. I want everybody to know even the small steps matter. Just like any other revolutionary in their time, it doesn't matter if you're Caucasian, Black, Hispanic, whatever. You have your own battles too. We all face some of the similar things that are going on because we are oppressed from the same people. So just understand that even your small moves in your community and what you do is actually making a difference, because you don't know who's watching you. I didn't know for a certain point of time that it was young children actually listening to what I was saying, and I still don't know to this day how that affects them. So just stay encouraged and stay on. You know what I mean? We got this.
Okay. All right, y'all, we got about 5 minutes left. Let me get ready to let everybody know what we're doing next week. And others, again, as you know, I always like to go off with my parting shot. Thank you again, Maya. Thank you to everyone who's joined the show tonight. Bridging the Gap, 0.34 off again. Y'all always welcome to come on the show. Again, please don't let this be the last time you come on the show, because, as you know, on any topic we talk about, your voice is going to always count. You know, your ideas, your opinions, your beliefs, it's all nice, man. I mean, because everybody wants to hear what somebody else has to say. Nobody knows it all. Matter of fact, if you find me one person that knows it all, watch this here. He ain't going to never come back on this show no more. I mean, he got to at least let me know I kind of have something around here. You know what I mean? Let me feel important, too. You know, so I want to say that again, y'all. It's this Baba Ree Tapa right here in Oklahoma City, People Power Radio, where we're your hosts with the most. My co-host, Mayat, your boys right here with me, again, out of Oklahoma City. We want to thank, again, our special guest tonight, Bridging the Gap 0.34, Brother Kevin Wilson, as well as Brittany Washington and Fallon. I mean, y'all were some great, great guests as always, man. Y'all, please come back again. So those of you who have a problem with today, if your landlord, if your police brutality in schools not respecting your children, if someone accidentally poured a hot cup of coffee on you, whatever, call them Oklahoma Coalition Against People Abuse, because our motto is change your world and your world will change around you. We want to hear it. Again, our number is area code 405-246-9089. That's area code 405-246-9089. And if you got something you want to email it to us, you can email us at opapa, O-P-A-P-A, Incorporated 9@gmail.com. opapa9@gmail.com. Again, y'all, so thank y'all very much tonight. So the next show we're getting ready to do something tonight, we're going to probably put that together. Anybody got an idea for a show, please call us, man. It's not just about what we want. I mean, if anybody has a show on any topic, as long as I can learn and get something from you, as long as y'all going to feed me, we'll let you know. Let me quit. Yeah, let me stop. Thank y'all very much. I love y'all. I'm just going to be going to tell you.
Mike, disaster preparedness. Disaster preparedness.
Yeah. Disaster preparedness. Okay. Oh, no, that's what you said you want to talk. The disaster preparedness? Okay, we can definitely talk about that after the show's over with. But anyway, y'all.
Okay.
We want y'all to know, man, that this is y'all's show, man. Hey, we're the host with the most. We would be talking to ourselves if we didn't have you. Again, you can have fun. You can laugh. You can joy. You can cry. You can, if you want to throw a curse word out, as long as you don't do it all so long. We definitely want to appreciate it, because everybody has that emotional up and down point that they need to get off and express themselves, and they feel much better. Yeah, you know, if you sometimes you say a curse word, you say, whew, now what else? You know, so we want you to express that inner feeling. Thank y'all so much tonight. We got about a minute here. May God bless and keep you. May he allow his face to shine upon you and give you peace. So everybody tonight, go out and love someone. Tell everybody you love them. Tell your loved one, your family, because tomorrow is not promised to you. So I'm saying tonight, good night, everybody. Thank you for joining the show. Y'all be blessed. And Mayat, thank you for the great job you do every night on the show. And again, I guess y'all be blessed, and we're going to talk to y'all. We're going on the internet tonight. Have a great day, everybody. Thank y'all. Nicole, you as well. Oh, goodbye, y'all.
Good night.
Good night, everybody. Good night.
Good night.